And now, the National Lampoon Radio Hour, brought to you by 7-Up, the Uncola, and A&M Records.
You don't have to look at pictures on the radio.
If you're alone in your apartment, chain smoking, overeating, and feel that no one wants anything to do with you, we want you to know that in this city is an enthusiastic handful of people who would like to drive an ice pick through your skull.
It doesn't ruin your vision like a TV show.
Can things really be all that bad?
Practice yoga on the ground or get up and walk around.
You can do it when you're listening to the radio.
Life is tough.
You can shave or wash your hair while our show is on the air. You can cook up a fondue and we'd still be coming through. You can stay in bed and you'll find we don't care at all. Just as long as you keep listening to the radio.
Did you say vacuum?
Oh, be good.
Save the soap and reaper on the radio. While we're really eating cookies and you never know.
We could tell you we look great when we're really overweight.
You can get away with so much on the radio.
They said, Jordy, Jordy, we want Jordy.
Tell them what you look like on the radio. Because if they never see you, then they'll never know.
Doesn't matter if you ask me.
Because they'll never know exactly
what you look like when they listen to the radio.
We want Jordy, we want Jordy.
R-A-D-I-O.
Television.
R-A-D-I-O.
Wearing London.
R-A-D-I-O.
Or vacuum cleaners.
R-A-D-I-O.
You get the picture?
R-A-D-I-O.
Thank you, Marconi.
Hello, this is the voice of James Frohman speaking on behalf of the National Lampoon Radio Hour. 60 minutes of mindless hostility. And for the kids, Babs Brightfeather, the skating Navajo. So stay where you are, and we'll be right back after this word from Jellutech.
In Boston and Los Angeles.
Now, A&M recording artist, Tim Weisberg.
In Denver and Philadelphia.
Tim Weisberg.
In Toronto and New York.
And welcome for Tim Weisberg.
In city after city, they come to see and hear this exciting young musician. Now, all the excitement of those concerts is captured in a new album, Dream Speaker by Tim Weisberg. It's all in the new Tim Weisberg album, Dream Speaker, on A&M.
If you're looking for a bed, think Aquabed. I know, you're saying water beds have come and gone, like the tide. Well, we here at Bone Bazaar Aquarius sold the first one, and we're selling more now than ever before. Bone Bazaar Aquarius, where your comfort is our business since 1954. Service, dependability, quality materials, and workmanship have made Aquabed a piece of furniture you can be proud of. For something that looks as good as it feels, or just to feel good, think Aquabed and come to either of our New York showrooms at 149 Waverly Place between 6th and 7th Avenues in Greenwich Village, or 790 Lexington Avenue between 61st Street and 62nd Street, or phone 255-8889. We also have a great selection of pillows, spreads, beanbag chairs, and pillow furniture at Bone Bazaar Aquarius.
My husband's a writer, and if I didn't make him a perfect cup of coffee, I don't think he would conk me on the head with an omelet pan or shove me down the coal chute. But coffee is important. It's important to him. That's him in the other room, writing.
I'm a writer, and I drink a lot of coffee. So I want my coffee to have that rich, full-bodied flavor. My wife knows this. Now, I'd never hit my wife or lock her in the onion cellar if she didn't make a perfect cup of coffee. But she knows that I demand that true coffee taste. And that's why I only allow one brand in our house. Better coffee than this, there isn't.
I'm putting another pot of coffee on the sink. No, the stove. Do you want more coffee?
No, thank you, dear. I have a full cup in front of me. Coffee this good, I never grow tired of. And that's important, because after I put in a long day at the typewriter, I look forward to that special time of evening when all the children are in bed, and I sit with my wife, and I have that one last cup of the day.
Here are six more cups of coffee. Oh, I dropped them. Here's one that didn't break.
That's not a cup of coffee.
Not coffee? Cup of coffee?
That's an ashtray, dear. Now, hand me the coffee.
Here.
That's not the coffee. That's a baby's block. No, to your left. No, to your other left. No.
Here's coffee.
No, that's a magazine. Now, hand me the coffee. There, the coffee.
This?
That's my pipe.
Remember your name and address and telephone number too. Then if someday you lose your way, you'll know just what to do. Walk up to that kind policeman, the very first one you meet, and simply say, I've lost my way, I cannot find my street. But I know my name and address and telephone number too. Then he'll be kind and help you find the dear ones who wait for you.
Guy goes into a diner and he sits down at the table by the window, and the waitress comes over and he said to the waitress, hi, I'll have a glass of milk and a bun with butter on it, please. And the waitress says, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have any buns. And he says, okay, let me just have a yoo-hoo and a pickle on the side and a bun with some marmalade. No, you don't understand. We don't have any buns. We don't have any buns. Oh, okay. Make that Ovaltine. Just hot Ovaltine. I'll have hot Ovaltine and a bun with just some jam. Just jam on the bun. Sir, we don't have any buns. We don't have any buns. Okay. Just give me a bun.
And now, radio listeners, The Lost Glider. Come join us in the mystery ship of the air lanes, lost in the trackless wastes of an endless sky. Let's listen.
I wish I knew where I was.
Listen in again next time as the Lost Glider sails into a new and even more terrifying adventure.
Sergeant Patterson speaking to you on the police emergency rape line. I'm sorry, but all the rape line circuits are busy right now. If you have a rape in progress you wish to report, Please hold the line and a policeman will assist you on the first available phone. This is a recording. It will not be repeated. Thank you.
Hi there, and greetings to you. I'm Henry Leffingwell. This is my show, The Henry Leffingwell Interview. And my guests are Dexter and Warren Cudahy. Gentlemen are a pair of Siamese twins. They have recently entered the political arena. They are currently offering themselves as nominees for the presidential candidacy of not one, but both major political parties. All right, gentlemen, who's who?
Should I go first?
Go ahead.
I'm Dexter Cudahy, and I'm running for the Republican nomination.
And I'm Warren Cudahy, and I'm running for the Democratic nomination.
All right, gentlemen. Could you tell me, what is the advantage of a dual candidacy such as yours?
Well, I feel that we would probably campaign on a much higher level than the usual, shall we call it dirty politics, because we'd both be campaigning in the same state and could not only be present for each other's speeches to call each other on slanderous remarks and so forth of backbiting, but we would also have the opportunity to debate each other.
I see. This would then be a series of tandem debates, somewhat in the tradition of Lincoln and Douglas, if you will.
Yes, and the combined campaign funds of both parties would be cut in half because, for example, we would both be sharing the same hotel room. We'd only have to charter one plane or bus and so forth, you know?
Mm-hmm. So that the hue and cry currently being raised over the unnecessary expenditures in presidential campaigns would be halved, thus affecting a considerable saving to both the Democrats as well as the Republicans.
Yes, that's right.
That's how I think we'd say, yeah.
I think that's a fair assessment. Well, what about this, fellas? Suppose only one of you wins. Suppose only one of you gets the nomination. What then? Would the other retire and support the winner, or what?
Well, in that case, we'd both run on the same ticket for president. You see, we feel we offer the voter more of a choice.
I think he means two heads are better than one.
I see. You'd sort of be an entry, then, as it were, for the presidency.
Yes, right. And I think to illustrate this, for example, during an international crisis, if I was on the hotline to Russia, I'd be saving time while, Warren?
Well, I would be talking to China.
All right, and in that way, you could settle the international problems with some alacrity as compared to...
Precisely, yes, right.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, fellas. What about a human interest angle here? What is there about your candidacy that you feel is unique, is different, would, say, grasp the imagination of the voters? For instance, I mean, the Kennedys had their touch football games. Dwight Eisenhower, quite a golfer. Is there something unique about you fellows, for instance, athletically, stand you in good stead?
Well, I played football. We played football together in college.
Yes, there is a humorous anecdote I remember once. Warren was a faster runner, and just as he reached the goal line for touchdown, they tackled me.
I see. That must have been a frustrating, but still a character-building experience.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, gentlemen, if we can, I'd like to have sort of a capsule debate between the two of you, since, after all, you both are running for the candidacy of your respective parties. Warren Cudahy, could you give us your viewpoint in regard to the economic situation in our country?
I certainly can. I feel the most pressing problem is the immediate need to lessen unemployment and to clean up the deadly inflationary situation that's occurred. And to sum it up, I would like to get this country moving again.
All right. Now, Dexter Cudahy, can we hear from you on this one?
Yes. Essentially, I feel that the inflation is the most dangerous aspect of our country, the most pressing problem. I think we have to solve that. And I think we must lessen unemployment, the percentage of it, immediately. And to sum up, I would like to get this country moving again.
All right, you gentlemen seem to be in substantial agreement on that one. That was Dexter and Warren Cudahy, a pair of Siamese twins, running for presidency. Dexter as a Republican, Warren as a Democrat. They offer the voters this choice. Come election day, you may choose one from column A or one from column B. And this is Henry Leffingwell saying, just remember, you heard it here.
Message from your suicide prevention phone. Now, first of all, why not stop, take a deep breath, and think for a minute. Can things really be all that bad? Sure, the road of life can be pretty bumpy sometimes, but isn't that just part and parcel of that rich tapestry we call living? You know, a wise man once said, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And remarkable as it may seem in our wacky way-out world, these words are still as relevant as ever. No better illustration of this can be found than in Charles Schulz's delightful comic strip, Peanuts. What's the matter? Linus is seen asking a dejected Charlie Brown in the first panel. It's this darn old baseball team, Charlie replies. We haven't won a game all season. Lucy, who has overheard the preceding exchange, bursts into derisive giggles. Whereupon Snoopy, sporting a catcher's mask and a typically wry expression, strides resolutely back to the plate and signals strike four. Well, I hope you enjoyed that one as much as I did. But beneath the fun, there is a deeper meaning to this modern-day parable. Don't we often feel that we've struck out in life, too? Doesn't it sometimes seem as if...
You are listening to the National Lampoon Radio Hour. This is Gracie Whitebread speaking.
Good evening, monsieur. Would you get this menu?
Yes, it would, thank you.
Here you are.
Thank you. I don't seem to be talking any of anything on the menu. Could you recommend something?
Of course. This must be your first time here,
Yes, it is.
Well, then, I would recommend, a punch in the nose to start with, followed by, the kick in the knee, one of our specialties.
I don't think...
Oh, they're all very good, I assure you. Our crabs, now they are a particular delight. We apply them directly to your back, and they're thrown in fresh daily, as is our chef. Here he is now. Speaking of which, may I suggest a chef special? Louis?
Yes, what is it?
I think the gentleman would like to try the special.
Now, wait just a minute.
I totally agree, sir. Is this your first time here?
Yes, it is.
Henri, you don't start off a new customer with a special as he tries the punch in the nose or the kick in the knee yet.
Well, that's exactly what I suggested.
I think, sir, you'd be better off starting with those two.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. First, monsieur, the punch in the nose.
What quaint names you have, really.
How is that, sir? Is that exactly how I hope?
What was all that about?
You ordered the punch in the nose. I trust it was to your liking. And now, the kick in the knee.
Ow!
There you are, sir. Two of our finest orders. Now, how about the chef special,
No.
I insist. If they're not completely satisfied, then there's no chance. Louis? Oh, decided on the special, have you? Good. Here goes. Now, sir, how about some dessert,
Bonsoir, monsieur. May I show you to a table for one? Would you like to see the menu on the wine list?
No, I just want some butter and some fingernail clippers.
Every so often, a song come along that just happened to tell it like it is. This is one of them songs. It's called, I Never Seen a Straight Banana.
Thank you.
my height. Millions I have height, but gall blimey, I've yet to see bananas that are striped.
I have seen them by the carload on the Delaware and Lackawanna.
But we never, 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 we've never seen a straight banana.
I've been all went, the blooming things are always bent. Oh, tell me where I can procure a jolly striped banana.
I'll have it, I'll look in every place, and this can't possibly be that case. There ain't no straight banana.
Here is one, you'll see it now. It's a wow. Oh, and how?
And what is this that you have got?
No, 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 you know.
For Recipe Corner. First, a correction to last week's recipe for tuna supreme. It seems we gave the wrong quantity in the breadcrumb measurement. That should have been 1 ounce of breadcrumbs, not 1 dozen breadcrumbs.
Guy goes into a small diner in Tarrytown.
And if you tell me that the hippies and the yippies are going to be able to do the job, I'll tell you this. They can't run a bus. They can't serve in a governmental office. They can't run a lathe in a factory. All they can do is lay down in the park and sleep or kick policemen with razor blades.
And he calls the waitress over. Waitress comes.
Gentlemen, ladies, could I have your attention, please?
Coming up on your immediate left, the famous Ganges River.
I'm sorry. You'll have to excuse me for my laughter, but we are approaching the famous holy shrine of my people, the Laughing Wall of Nepal. You can see it up in the distance to your immediate right. The wall is the remnants of a famous 9th century Buddhist funhouse built by the Maharaji Shena Pune to commemorate good times. It is necessary for you to tell you people that if this is your first time at the wall, please stand back at least 50 feet. Only the initiates are allowed any closer. No, please, that's far enough. Please don't go any further, ladies and gentlemen. I can't hold you back. It's very weak. We'll get cramps, ladies and gentlemen. Warning. Oh, my
no, this is a nice idea. Okay, I had an idea of Mr. Whipple saying, I see someone squeezing the Charmin. I'll go over there and give them a piece of my mind. Please don't squeeze the Charmin.
Whoever squeezes the Charmin will be caught by the Whipple early warning system. I'll just hide. There's the alarm.
Excuse me, madam. You're not supposed to squeeze the shop. Oh, I beg your pardon, sir. The law here fooled me.
Oh, what do you get your kicks out of talking to ladies about toilet paper?
Oh, excuse me, madam.
Hey, Ted, you want to step over here a second? I got some fruit bar here. Gets his kicks out of talking to ladies about toilet paper.
No,
you want to hold his arms behind his back there? Okay. Listen, after we're done with you, fella, we're going to squeeze your mop and glow. We're going to squeeze your Frankenberry, your yard guard.
we're going to squeeze your roasting bone. Oh,
that's right. This is your special case.
And then we're going to squeeze your...
The Johnston's pride. They just squeeze everything, crush it, mangle it.
Can you imagine that's good in mind the ad sentiment if they came up with that campaign? I mean, how desperate they would have had to have been to come up with a campaign about people wanting to squeeze their bread or whatever
it is.
Is
there something vaguely scatological about the word squeeze? I mean, couldn't we write them and...
Well, there's something vaguely scatological about the word Charmin. That's like a name your mother makes up.
My favorite thing about
that... Is it Charmin?
It isn't Charmin at all. It's Charmin. Obviously was invented. Right. The name of the product was Charmin, like charming, with an apostrophe at the end.
And
they
just the
pronounce it wrong, right? It's not Charmin at all. They just have it wrong.
That's a funny idea for the radio, because you could do that. It wouldn't work in print. That is a funny idea.
It'll barely work in radio.
Don't touch that dial. The National Lampoon Radio Hour will be right back after this insincere commercial message written by some cynical Nazi solely for the purpose of ripping off your parents' money.
Oh, hi there, and welcome to my bedroom. You know, I didn't have a cola yesterday, and I might not have one today either, or tomorrow. That's because I drink 7-Up, the Uncola. You see, 7-Up really works for me. It gets right to my thirst in a hurry. The Uncola is fresh and light and certainly refreshing. It's a natural for a big, rugged guy like myself. In fact, 7-Up works so well at quenching my thirst and refreshing me, I can actually skip a day without drinking a cola. Or 2 days, or a week, or a month, or a year, or a decade. Oh, well, anyway, with plenty of 7-Up, the Uncola here to drink, there's a very good chance that I'll never have a cola again. And then there's also an outside chance that I'll never leave my bed or touch a leaf or see the sky. Hi there, and welcome to my bedroom. You know, I didn't have a cola yesterday, and I might not have one today.
Audio Unlimited presents Melonhead!
A little big owl. So that big owl was his name, and I called him very stupid because he was so lame. And I kept him on the carpet, and I kept him in all day. But mommy let my beagle out. Yes, mommy let my beagle out. She also threw our carpet out, 'cause beagle made all day.
You cannot make a mistake when you buy stereo equipment from Audio Unlimited. Audio Unlimited offers the most comprehensive fire protection plan in the business, including meeting any legitimate price quotation. Before you buy any hi-fi equipment, please visit one of the 7 locations of Audio Unlimited. 3rd Avenue at 28th Street, 3rd Avenue at 79th Street, 16 West 45th Street on the second floor, and 116-37 Queens Boulevard in Forest Hills, 711 Fort Washington Boulevard in Fort Washington, 354 Great Neck Road in Great Neck. Audio Unlimited. Beware of imitations. Please.
Hello, this is your Consumer Protection Commissioner, Patsy Pangborn, with another consumer protection tip. Today's tip concerns an all-too-common type of fraud that has swindled hundreds of gullible consumers in our community in recent weeks. Here's how it works. Listen carefully and be on the lookout in your neighborhood. A tiny elf, dressed as a high-ranking German army officer, goes from door to door selling tourist-class passenger tickets on the ocean liner Mauritania for half price. The consumer is told that the discount is only good if he or she also signs up for a 3-year subscription to either Life or Look magazine. As a premium or gift, each householder is given a free hairbrush, supposedly valued at $2, which he or she can keep without buying anything. The wise consumer may already be suspicious, and rightly so, for in fact, those $2 hairbrushes are actually worth only $1.79. So, be on the alert, know your consumer rights, and when you're offered that so-called $2 hairbrush, call the salesman's bluff. Chances are he'll beat a hasty retreat because you were an informed consumer.
For more consumer protection information, send $10 in cash, no checks or money orders, please, to Jones. That's Jones, care of account number 1545B, Zurich Bank, Zurich, Switzerland.
How about another cup of coffee, sir? You want another cup of coffee before you go?
Oh, no, thank you, waiter. Just a check, please.
Oh, yeah, sure. I see it says there in your paper that the air pollution was improved by the rainfall last night.
Oh, yes. Yes, so it was. Well, that's good.
Oh, sure is. Boy, you know, it really bothers my eyes. My eyes, they actually tear, you know.
Yes, that happens to me sometimes.
Well, you know, my wife, she, are you married?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm not.
Good for you.
Anyhow,
every time I take my car into the city and add to the pollution, my wife really gives it to me. I mean, I never thought she was so community-minded. No, wait a minute. I don't want you to get the wrong idea, though. Yeah. I mean, she's really a good kid. I mean, I wouldn't trade her for anybody, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I got two beautiful kids. I have got a lot to be thankful for, you know what I mean? I mean, some guys complain. Uh-huh. They got no right to complain. I mean, life is tough. But for some people, life is really tough.
Well, you know, it's very good that you can see it that way.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Listen, what are you kidding me?
Let me get my coat here.
Oh, yeah, wait a minute. I'll help you on with it. Here.
Oh, sure.
There you go.
Now, thank you very much.
Hey, now, let's see. You wanted a check, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Possible.
Sure, the check. Well, let me see here now. What did you have here? You had coffee and an English. Was there anything else, sir?
No, coffee and an English was it, I believe.
Okay, here you are. Have a nice day now, huh?
Oh, thank you. And same to you and your wife and kids.
Oh, thanks. hey, what's that?
A tip. I left a dime for a tip.
A tip? You call that a tip? After I talk to you?
Good evening. This is Dan Bates, and welcome to another segment of I Have an Interesting Problem. As usual tonight, we'll be listening to tales of woe that are just slightly out of the ordinary. And as usual, we'll be out to prove that there's no problem too embarrassing to mention, no problem too big to solve. Our first guest tonight is a public stenographer from Camden, New Jersey, who says his hobby is truck farming. Welcome, please, Mr. Nelson Gort. Well, Mr. Gort, do you have an interesting problem?
Yes, I do. Can I stay on the air?
Oh, yes, indeed. These are modern times, Mr. Gort.
I'm sexually attracted to certain vegetables. More than that, I'm sexually involved with certain vegetables.
There. That wasn't hard, was it? There's nothing wrong with that, Mr. Gort. Now, just what vegetables do you have a yen for?
Well, cabbages, cantaloupes, you know, the feminine ones. None of that cucumber stuff, none of that.
Oh, of course not. Now, do you want to change this distressing orientation?
No.
Well, and why should you? Thanks a lot for being with us, Mr. Gort, and Godspeed you.
There's one other thing. I married my sister.
Well, now there, that is a problem.
She didn't understand about the vegetables. She got jealous.
Well, why would your sister be jealous of your vegetables, sir?
Because sis and me were having a thing, you know? Now you're probably going to kick me off the show, right?
Oh, indeed not, Mr. Gort. There is no problem too embarrassing to mention, no problem too serious to solve. As a matter of fact, because you've been so frank with us, Mr. Gort, we're going to give you some fabulous prizes. A plot in Celestial Rest Cemetery for your sister, the services of a famous criminal lawyer for your upcoming trial, and a ton of cabbage for yourself. Now, how's that?
God bless you forever. Everyone else is wonderful.
Gee, you know, it's so downright touching. You see how happy it makes people when they realize that they can find real human understanding and real friendly help no matter what their problem. Golly, you know, if everyone would just remember that there's no problem too embarrassing to mention, no problem too big to solve, I think we'd all be so much happier. And now, let's meet our next guest. Welcome, please, Miss Trudy Welch of Lorman, Indiana.
Hello.
Well, Miss Welch, do you have an interesting problem?
Yes, I have vulgar handwriting.
You mean your handwriting is undeveloped and you're going through a difficult stage with your handwriting and you need professional help?
No, help didn't do any good. I'm stuck with it. I've got vulgar handwriting for good.
Could you describe your vulgar handwriting to us, Miss Welch?
Well, it's on pink paper to start, and then I use white ink. Can't seem to stop. Then I make everything very round, you know what I mean, with loops. Then I dot the I's.
Well, everyone does that, Miss Welch.
With little circles. I dot my I's with little circles.
Could you show me exactly what you mean, Miss Wells? Could you show us a sample of your handwriting?
Sure.
Doc, you're right. That is vulgar handwriting.
And then, you see, I just dot the I's with little circles.
Stop it.
Huh?
I said stop it. That's disgusting.
Disgusting?
I mean, it's sick-making. It's repulsive. It's repellent. I don't see how you could do a thing like that in public in front of all these people, in front of me.
I thought you said there was no problem too embarrassing to mention.
Well, you have to draw the line somewhere, and I draw the line at vulgar handwriting. Okay, sister, get out of here. Just get her out of here.
What about politeness?
Baby, you're lucky if you got out of here with your head intact. Well, that's all for today. Tune in next time and listen to some fellow citizens looking for help and understanding when they say, I have an interesting problem. Thank you and good night.
They call him El Allende, the dead one. It's fiesta time. The peasants are happy because they know that their copper has been purchased by a large American telephone company for a fraction of its true worth, and that they will be paid nearly 50 cents a week for mining it. Yes, this celebration will continue long into the night. And throughout the next 4 or 5 years, El Allende is dead. So that your phone won't be.
Hello, Grandmother. Merry Christmas. Santa Claus was here. He left me a puppy and a charm bracelet, a dollhouse.
You read lips?
I read lips.
You can hear perfectly well?
That is correct. I hear perfectly well. All of my senses are keened and honed. But when I read lips, I don't listen. To test this, I would like you to look right at me and say something. Make it as long or as short as you like. Anything at all. I will be reading your lips. I will not be listening with my ears. Say anything at all.
All right.
You said all right. The phrase you chose to test me with was all right.
I didn't begin yet. That wasn't anything.
What?
I said I didn't begin yet. Now, listen to me. I am going to drop my arms, and that's when we begin.
What? No, don't tell me. You said everything tastes better with blue bonnet on it.
No, I said you got to
And then you gestured with your arms to indicate that you indeed meant everything.
I didn't drop my arms.
Now, let's try another one. Give me a tougher one this time, like a pun on a movie title.
Okay, we'll start. Right now.
Vacuum. Did you say vacuum?
No.
Look, wait a minute. Stop shaking your head.
No.
I can't read your lips if you shake your head. You're going to have to be still.
I didn't say
vacuum. I'll tell you a good one you can give me. It's one I always get wrong.
Okay.
How can you believe me when I told you that I love you when you know I've been a liar all my life? Give me that one.
Okay. How could you believe me when I told you that I... How could you believe me when I told you that I loved you... How's the rest of it go?
What?
What's the rest of it?
You know I've been a liar all my life.
You know I've been a liar all my life.
No, don't know that one.
The National Lampoon Radio Hour will be right back after this word about a new way to keep those linoleum floors looking scuzzy.
Long before they ever set foot inside a studio, the Ozark Mountain Daredevils were making a name for themselves.
Here we go. Let's say hello to Ozark Mountain Daredevils.
Now the word's out. And so is their first album.
Chicken train running all day. I can't get on, I can't get off. Chicken train taking chickens away. Oh, country girl, you drive away the pain. Oh, country girl, you make sunshine of the rain.
The Ozark Mountain Daredevils. A great new sound on A&M. Are UFOs for real? Are green spacemen invading New York?
There's one on every cover of this month's Changes magazine. Check out the latest exploration of the flying saucer question with Rod Serling, Isaac Asimov, and the space experts who give you the facts and the fiction. Each month, Changes probes the music, film, literature, and trends that are making New Yorkers stop and take notice. In this issue, Changes talks with Norman Mailer, delves into the love lives of D.H. Lawrence and Franz Kafka, interviews hotshot directors Polanski and Jodorowsky, and goes behind the scenes at the Women's Video Festival. Changes music editor Cy Johnson covers the latest in jazz, and David Budge raps with Sly and Yoko Ono. Check out Seymour Krim's The One and Only Jew Boy Caper, or turn to the special comic supplement, which includes a feature on R. Crumb and the Underground. A Christmas subscription blank in the issue offers you a free album, any one of five, including Miles Davis and Chick Corea. So look for us at your local newsstand. Put some Changes in your life today.
And now this word from the American Safety Institute. Don't replace burnt-out fuses with rusty nails, used razor blades, pieces of broken glass, or other sharp objects. Putting anything besides a standard fuse of the correct voltage in a fuse box can cause a dangerous short circuit that can lead to a fire. After all, isn't it better to suffer a little inconvenience than risk a major tragedy? Remember, don't be a careless person. Be a care more person.
This is Long John Naval. I'd like to take a moment to talk to you about Great Mountain Valley drinking water. Great Mountain is 100% pure drinking water. It contains no fluoride. As you know, many physicians not only question the value of fluoride, but some even acknowledge its possible harmful effects on the human body. Great Mountain Valley Water contains no fluoride. Before we return to our show, I'd like to talk to you about New Bright Toothpaste. New Bright Toothpaste contains fluoride, and many dentists recommend fluoride for its health-giving therapeutic effects. Remember, New Bright Toothpaste with fluoride.
Light your faith, and you can light the world. Set fire to the church of your choice.
You're dazed, bewildered, trapped in a world without time, where sound collides with color and shadows explode. Yet this is no science fiction adventure. This is the real life, everyday world of a pothead. Pot, grass, weed, marijuana. It all means the same thing. You smoke it and you get high. Maybe you smoke it because it's the in thing and you want to be with it. Maybe you're rebelling against your parents, or maybe you're just looking for kicks. Whatever the reason, ask yourself this. Is it worth the risk? All the facts aren't in on marijuana, but here's one that is. A recent study at Duke University showed that prolonged use of marijuana can result in a permanent loss of hearing. So the next time someone hands you a joint, maybe you won't just get stoned. Maybe you'll get stoned. Deaf.
Diri Cola in a can and a bun with marshmallow. We don't have any buns. You don't understand. We don't have any buns.
This is the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
to whack them rubber necks who flunk down the bayou. Bayou, 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 bayou. Devil worship gets you all. Come and die, my residence. Peace and love is what you need. You come and buy my record. Or you want to see a magic kid? Come and buy my record. Watch four bucks disappear real quick when you buy my record. I'm a Dr. Love, my teacher at all. Don't you buy it? Tell me who I am. Not Dr. Hook or Elton. I'm going to buy that record. Got my Greenies in my sack. I hope that I don't lose them. Soon as I find out what they is, maybe I can use them.
Now, of course, there are all sorts of stories. I have an appointment to meet the Holy Father in Rome in a short time. And I was given two stories by Cardinal Cushing. He said, this will make the Holy Father laugh. And it's a businessman, no, not religiously inclined. And he goes to the Holy Father to influence. He wants to give the church $5 million. And Pope meets him. So you're very kind. The money will be used fine to keep religion and faith among all people. And this fellow said, but you'll have to do something for me. When you say the prayer in the morning, give us this day our hallowed bread or whatever it is, give us this day beer. If you can just put that in with the beer, I'll give you $5 million. And the Holy Father says, oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't say, give us this day our daily bread, and on a hallowed day like this, I couldn't do put beer in it. He says, I'll give you $10 million, put in beer. And the Holy Father says, well, I couldn't do it. And the guy says, how much are the bread people giving you?
You know, Ed Sullivan, we kid him a lot, but Ed Sullivan is one of the greats of this business. And in the cab on the way over to the studio tonight, I had a funny thought. What if Ed Sullivan were tortured? And when I say tortured, what I mean is, what if steel needles, say 6 inches long, were plunged into Ed's eyes? I think it would go something like this.
I'd like to talk to all you kiddies in show business because I have a story I think that might teach you a few things about the business. This happened to me quite a few years ago when I was starring at the Winter Garden Theater. I'll never forget it. I was opening in a new show, and the show was one of the most successful that I ever did. I'll never forget, I was sitting backstage at my makeup table in my star's dressing room, And a young man knocked on my door. I'll never forget it. He said, Mr. Jolson, 5 minutes. I was putting on the burnt cork on my face and my makeup. I said, okay, son, I'll be right there. A few minutes later, as I was putting the burnt cork on, another knock came at the door. And I'll never forget it. The door opened, if I remember correctly, and in walked Lou Dockstader, the producer of the show. Now, Lou came in. I was putting my eyeliner on. I saw him in the mirror reflection. I said, hello, Lou. He said, hello, Al. How are you? I said, I'm fine, Lou. I said, Lou, you know, you don't look good. He said, Al, I don't feel good. I said, you know, you look tired. I think the show is taking something out of you. Why don't you and your wife go down to Florida for a vacation? He says, Al, I may do that. He says, I just don't feel good. I said, Lou, you don't look good. He was pale, you know. He did look very, very bad. So all of a sudden, another knock came at the door. He was a young man again. He says, 1 minute, Mr. Jolson. All right. I said, I'll be right there, son. I finished putting on the wig, the minstrel wig, and my tie. And in the next moment, Lou Dockstader dropped dead in my arms. He just fell down. I said, Lou, I slapped his face. I tried to give him some water. I pulled the tie away from his throat. He had turned blue. He died in my arms. And the young man knocked on my door. He says, 20 seconds, Mr. Jolson. Well, there was Lou Dockstader lying in my arms. What could I do? The curtain was coming up. The overture was being played. Jolson was wanted out there. He was out there. As far as the crowd was concerned, it didn't matter whether Lou Dockstader had just died or not. So I laid Lou Dockstader down on the floor. And the young man said, you're on, Mr. Jolson. I said, I'm coming, son. I went out there. I'll never forget it. The overture played. I went out there and I sang. I sang that night like I never sang before. It was one of the greatest performances I ever gave in my career. Not one time when I was on stage, I had about 14 numbers, not once did I think of Lou Dockstader. Not once did my mind drift back to the dressing room where he was lying dead. And at the end, it was probably the greatest performance of my career because I must have had over 20 curtain calls. They wouldn't let me off. They said, Jolly, we want Jolly. I went back out there. I bowed again, and finally, I just told the stage manager backstage, I said, look, I said, no more, I've had it, I'm through for the night. They were screaming, they were laughing, they were crying, they were whistling for me. I just let it go. I went back to my dressing room, I opened up the door, and that was the first time since the moment I left and I went out on the stage that I remembered that Lou Dockstader was dead again. He was lying on the ground. He had turned like blue, green, something else. And at that moment when I saw him, I said, Lou, I forgot about you. I said, and I just broke down crying. I called an ambulance. I said, get an ambulance. Never mind the people out there. Never mind anything. Just call an ambulance for Lou. And they took Lou off. And he was gone. That was the end of Lou's life. But the thing that strikes me in my mind more than anything else, and I think that you kids could benefit from it or in show business, is that not once during that time did I think about Lou Dockstader while I was performing.
Give my regards to Broadway, remember me the Herald Square. Tell all the gang at 42nd Street that I will soon be there. Whisper of how our union can mingle with the old times throng. Give my regard to old Broadway and say that I'll be there forever.
Yes, all the family loves cheese, but one member just isn't getting enough. Your car, as we're about to hear right now.
It's the nothing that makes us something. It's what we miss that hits the mark. It's what's left out that leaves us in. It's the light shining over the dark. And in this time of overcomplication, there's sunshine on.
when you're crying out for simplification to done. Oh, none for all for run. Seven up the Uncola. None for all for run. Seven up the Uncola. Now in every bottle and can for you, there's un, there's un. The time is now, and I'll get you to your un. Come on, un for all for run. Seven up the Uncola. Un for all for run. Seven up the Uncola. Un for all for run.
Audio Unlimited presents Paul Slimy.
When I think back on all the crap I sang with Garfunkel, it's a wonder you bought that stuff at all. Monotone, I sang in a monotone. You know me and Leo weren't good friends at all.
We repeat, you cannot make a mistake when you buy stereo equipment from Audio Unlimited. We feature almost every major brand. Audio Unlimited offers the most comprehensive buyer protection plan in the business, including a unique one-year speaker protection plan, and will meet any legitimate price quotation. Before you buy any hi-fi equipment, please visit one of the 7 locations of Audio Unlimited in Manhattan, 3rd Avenue at 28th, 3rd Avenue at 79th, 16 West 45th Street on the second floor, hike, and 11637 Queens Boulevard, Forest Hills, 711 Fort Washington Boulevard, Fort Washington, and 354 Great Neck Road in Great Neck. Audio Unlimited. Be aware of imitations.
Hi, it's me again, Ann Blythe, and I'd just like to thank the contributors to tonight's National Lampoon Radio Hour. They are in alphabetical order: Michael O'Donnell, Bob Tischler, Georgia Golia, John Belushi, Henry Beard, Ann Beats, Polly Beard, David Bloom, Ed Bluestone, Chevy Chase, George Cole, Rhonda Coulet, Wendy Craig, Sidney Davis, Gary Goodrow, Jerry Graham, Christopher Guest, Nate Herman, Bob Hoban, Judy Jacqueline, Paul Jacobs, Sean Kelly, Doug Kenny, Bruce McCall, Brian McConaughey, P.G. O'Rourke, Bob Perry, Ellis Platon, Paul Price, Ed Savitsky, Vernon Taft, Alicia Taylor, George W.S. Pro, Gracie Whitebread, and Zelyanovsky. I'd never seen a straight banana sung by Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians, and the stories to make the Holy Father laugh told by Georgie Jessel. Needless to say, all situations portrayed on tonight's show are fictitious, as are the characterizations, whatever that means. Next week, a distinguished panel of experts will debate over which is the top underwater adventure series, Sea Hunt or Primus. I prefer Sea Hunt myself, but that's what makes horse races. And we'll find out how dentists brush their teeth. All in all, a pretty exciting show. I almost forgot. Listen, seriously, don't miss this next show, because it will be the first time in a national syndicated radio program that anyone has ever said the word moose poop. So, until then, remember that all those people you saw locked up on Dragnet are out now. They got off on loopholes, good behavior, whatever. The important thing is they're out there prowling the streets just waiting, so watch it. Because if they ever get their hands on you, honk, honk, twice, wobble, the food.
The National Lampoon Radio Hour has been brought to you by A&M Records and 7-Up, the Uncola.
Jazz, pop, news, traffic, weather, the works. It's all right here every morning. This is WYVR, New York. And I'm Desmond Eptide. I'm part of the package.